Well, our second scripture reading today comes from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. Listen now for the word of God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Pastor Carol Merritt, who graduated from my seminary a few years before me, wrote a story about her daughter getting a favorite book signed in a bookstore by the author of Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events. Have any of you seen the movie? Because Jim Carrey starred in the movie that they made from this book. Actually, I've never seen it, and I've actually never read the book. But I guess she loved the book. It sounds a bit morbid to me. The story goes, when a massive fire kills their parents, three children are delivered to the custody of their older cousin, who is secretly plotting to steal their parents' vast fortune. So it's kind of a sad story, but I think they make it humorous somehow. So we'll have to maybe show that on our film series sometime. Yeah. So when Carol's daughter hands the book to the author, his name's Daniel Handler, but everyone thought of him as being Lemony Snicket, he writes in the book to the little girl, to a future orphan. And this startled her mother. She didn't want to think about her daughter ever becoming an orphan. But we all do someday, don't we? What he wrote really was reality. And I think that is one of the ways he writes. He said he tries to write in a way that is realistic to real life. It's the way of the circle of life. We all become orphans. So in today's Gospel of John passage, Jesus is making a big announcement saying he is sending an advocate. Jesus tells the disciples to never fear because the advocate will be here. That is what my daughter Catherine is studying at Duke Law. She wants to be a legal advocate for refugees and orphans around the world. But don't we all need an advocate? Someone who's on our side, helping us to smooth out the path in life, guarding us from harm, guiding us and picking us back up when we fall. All of us need an advocate. We're not made to go through life's journey alone. And so, God provides. Jesus is speaking to his disciples at a time when his death is palpable. So he's intensifying his teachings now to them. And I imagine the disciples leaned in towards him and listened intently to his words, sensing their importance for their future. So let's put this event in context. Jesus is sitting with his closest entourage as what we now call the Last Supper. He's within 24 hours of his bloody death on the cross. Jesus has already washed their feet and then given them the command to do likewise for others, to humbly serve all in need. And in the midst of that meal with the betrayal and the cross hanging over them, he explains how he will provide for them after he is no longer visible on earth in the same form. He says, "I will not leave you orphans." Jesus promises to still come to them, but in the form of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. This will be his new way of revealing himself to them, the spiritual way. Now remember, us Presbyterians believe in a Trinitarian God, which is made up of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God, all rolled up in one Trinity. And the Celtic tradition, we have this three-portioned symbol that you often see in the Celtic tradition. And I think, Ray, did I give you an image of the three for the Trinity? Nope, don't have that one. Anyway, you probably have seen it many times. It's three loops all together. And the symbol is often seen in Celtic art. It's called the Trinitarian triquetra. It's kind of a hard name to say, but basically triquetra means triangle. And it shows the three entities all intertwined as God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But what's interesting is that same symbol, the triquetra, if you remember how it weaves around, it's also found in Buddhist Japanese art to represent the divine. So really the Trinity is in their belief system too, without them maybe calling it the Trinity. So Christ's message to his disciples must have been very reassuring, and soon we'll be singing that hymn, Blessed Assurance, because Jesus did want to assure them and help calm them down about his leaving. And his message at the same time is for us. We are to believe when he says, you will not be alone. You don't have to face anything by yourself. In every moment in your life, Jesus promises to be with us and advocate for us in the form of the Holy Spirit. That's such a wonderful promise. And you would have thought maybe the disciples would be recorded as jumping up from the table with joy and singing something like, "Our God is an awesome God," or something. But once again, the disciples don't quite get it when he's explaining these things to them. Until after his dying and his rising. Then they begin to remember and understand what he meant about sending an advocate. Jesus' promise, "I will live and you also will live, I will send the advocate, and I will not leave you orphaned," all means you will never be forgotten, you will never be alone. Jesus will face everything with you, the floods, the droughts, the things that were talked about in Psalm 66. That's how that links in with this passage, is it reassures you that God is with you through all the horrible things that can happen. Cancer, tornadoes, earthquakes, famine, in all the tragedies and in all our joys, our risen one says, "You are not alone." We do not have to face anything alone unless we decide to face it alone. Here is where we have to be honest. God gives us a choice. God gives us free will. God doesn't enslave us and force us to believe. We can choose to be orphans and choose to face life without acknowledging God's presence. Every time we stop praying and helping others, we are choosing to not be as closely connected to God as we could be. When we behave in an isolative, self-centered way, we are choosing to keep God at a distance. That doesn't mean God abandons us, but there are often times when we choose to abandon God. sometimes out of anger, disappointment, but we do choose sometimes. Have you ever known someone like that, that kind of lives their life that way? Someone who thinks they are just in the world alone and out for themselves to get what self-gratification they can grab? So they manipulate and strive to get all they can, no matter who they hurt. Often this is because they don't have faith that God is with them, and they fear death more than anything, so they grab on to whatever they can in this life. Bernie Madoff came to my mind when I was thinking about this. He had thousands of victims and stole $20 billion worth from those who invested with him. $20 billion. While he spends the rest of his life in prison, a recent CNN Money article reported that when they interviewed him in prison, he said he can't sleep. But it's not because he stole all that money. It's because his son Mark committed suicide in response to his father's crimes, and Mark's brother Andrew also died of cancer in his 40s after his dad was imprisoned. Both had worked closely with their father, but they denied knowing he was cheating so many people out of so much money when they were working with him. Sometimes you can tell which people are going through life without faith in eternal life by the bumper stickers on their cars. I've seen some that say, "The one with the most toys wins." Have you seen that one? And another one says, "I'm spending my children's inheritance." I hope none of you have those kind of bumper stickers, but if you do, it's just a joke, you know. But I recently saw a bumper sticker that I think I might get for myself. It said, "Jesus loves you," and then the bottom says, "But I'm his favorite." That reminds me of the Smothers Brothers. Remember Tommy Smothers? They'd always joke about who was mom's favorite. And then I think the funniest bumper sticker I saw recently said, "I was an honor student. I don't know what happened." And I think that's so funny because it makes fun of all those bumper stickers that says, "My child is an honor student," you know. I have seen kind of a mean one in response to the honor students one. This one isn't so mean, but I've seen one that says, "My kid can beat up your honor student." So, as Christians, we trust that we are never alone and that eternal life means we don't have to grab for all the gusto we can while we're here on earth. Jesus promises that the rest of eternal life waiting for us is much more glorious than we can hope for or imagine. It will make up for all the struggles and all the things that we go through here on earth. Now, if you think about it, trusting in that and knowing that we are not alone, it really helps us then to be selfless and to take risks then to love our neighbors because we don't fear death. We actually look forward to it. We don't worry about getting the most toys or spending stuff on ourselves for that temporary high that it might give because we know the one on high. So if you look at your bulletin cover today, it's not in our lectionary this year, but I wanted you to see the passage that follows this one that I read. "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid." This is a good one, like, to post on your refrigerator to remind yourself every day. So when God decided to leave the Holy Spirit with us as our advocate and as our guide, it was the greatest gift ever. This shows the parental love that God has for us as our loving mother, father, knowing that our weak and vulnerable souls need reassurance of God's presence all the time. God knew we would feel like orphans if God didn't give us something to hold on to when Jesus ascended after he accomplished his mission here on earth. But many people don't know about Jesus or the Holy Spirit or understand either one very well still today. When I took my mother to a nail salon in Texas last week as a Mother's Day gift, the manicurist was a young man from Vietnam. And he asked what I did for work. So you can imagine that started a conversation. So when I told him I was a pastor, he shared that he grew up Catholic in Vietnam and never met a woman pastor before in his life. And then as time went by, he said, you know, I think I believe in following Buddha because Buddha was a man and I can follow a man, but Jesus was a god. I can never be a god. And so I felt compelled to try to explain to him in a short amount of time how Jesus came to earth in the form of a man to demonstrate God's love in action, to show us how to be at peace with one another, and to heal and to forgive one another too. But I emphasized that Jesus showed us how to be God's love in action. When I was done, he said he wished he could visit such a church. He didn't know there were churches that believed in Jesus that way. And so I directed him to go to my mom's church. She goes to a Presbyterian church there in Mission. I tried to help him figure out where it was. I don't know if he'll show up there, but, you know, he was curious enough about it that he just might. In the Gospel of John, Jesus calls the Spirit another advocate, which shows that Jesus considered himself to be an advocate too. And then that is our job. We are all to be advocates for each other, helping each other feel God's love and support through our actions. So after Jesus ascends, the Spirit remains with the disciples, but this does not mean the Spirit replaces Jesus directly. Rather, the Spirit illuminates and expands their understanding of God and Jesus for the whole community of faith, to help them have no fear. That's one of Christ's main emphases, is to help them not be afraid. And fear is so rampant in our society today. We need to remember that these verses in the Bible are meant for us to have no fear too. Fear is everywhere, and we must really lean on these verses and trust that the Advocate helps us make our way through the fear and help people have peace. So have you ever seen the Holy Spirit? This is a question that Dr. David Long asks. And he says, we get two insanely helpful cues from this passage that together offer a pretty good picture of what the Holy Spirit really looks like. Clue number one, he says, is the Holy Spirit looks like an advocate, the one who stands up for you when you need it, the one who speaks on your behalf, the one who lends you a helping hand, takes your side, and won't leave or forsake you. And then he said the second clue to what the Holy Spirit looks like, he said the Holy Spirit looks like Jesus. The Spirit is another advocate because Jesus is the first. The Spirit is sent in Jesus' name and reminds us of what he taught us in the book of John and all the gospel. In a very real way, the Spirit mediates Jesus' presence and helps to keep his promise that he will not leave us orphaned. Thus, the Holy Spirit is an advocate that looks a whole lot like Jesus, which means that we've actually seen the Spirit lots of times. Any time, in fact, that someone stands up for another, any time someone acts like Jesus, any time someone shows the love of Christ to others, there we've seen the Holy Spirit. No wonder, then, that Jesus says, you know him, because as it turns out, the Holy Spirit, at one time or another, has probably looked a lot like you and me, and definitely a lot like each and all of us when we do these things. The Holy Spirit looks a lot like you when you stand up for others. And so as you stand up for the hymn that we're going to sing, I want you to look around at each other and see the Holy Spirit in the faces of each other as we sing. Because you will see in the eyes of each one around you that the Holy Spirit really does dwell within. Then later this week, stop and ponder where you've seen the Holy Spirit in the world around you, trying to stop people from being isolated, trying to stop people from being fearful. And you'll be able to see the Holy Spirit too, either through the good you've been blessed to do for others or the good you have received from others. Like Jesus' other name, Emmanuel, it literally means God with us. That name is the formula for peace within. Trust that God is within and around you always. And then your journey in this world will be fearless. And you will be empowered to show God's healing love in action wherever you go. Remember, John started out his whole gospel with this quote from Jesus, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." Amen.